Church, I'm going to invite you, can, if you can, join me in the Word of God, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This is the Word that God has laid upon my heart. Amen. It reads this way: I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Someone say amen. Gonna preach today on a simple topic, Holy Ghost and fire. Father, I thank you for your Spirit that is in this place, God. Lord, that over 2,000 years ago, you descended in the form of your Spirit, and you filled the church and the believers with power. And we're walking in that same power today. I pray, God, that you would encourage us through the Word. God, enlighten us. God, illuminate these words today in our hearts. Anoint our hearing and anoint my lips of clay, God. We give you all the glory and all of the honor. Can someone say amen? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Pentecost Sunday, amen, celebrates the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, which occurred on the Jewish harvest festival known as Pentecost, or as the Feast of Weeks. Pentecost occurred 50 days after Passover, or in the case of the church, 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. And Pentecost is a significant day on God's calendar because it fulfilled his plan from the very beginning to inhabit or to not only dwell among his people, but within his people. It has been the heart of God. It has been the plan of God to dwell not only around or above, but within his people. And from the prophets of old who would prophesy and foretell of this great occasion, which would be Pentecost, they didn't have the name for it, but there was a day that these prophets like Joel and Isaiah and Ezekiel foretold the moment. They hinted, they talked about this day in the future where God would break through the heavens and descend upon his people. Prophet Joel said that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Someone say amen today. He said this: I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. The prophet Isaiah said that God, that he would with stammering lips and another tongue speak to his people. Amen. In Ezekiel, he said that he would give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. This has been the priority of God throughout the narrative of Scripture, that one day he would fill the hearts of his people and turn their hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. And all of God's people, for generation to generation, was living with anticipation of this very moment. They were living with the expectation. They were living with bated breath on the edge of their seat, on the tiptoes of their toes, for the moment that God would fulfill this prophecy. They didn't know when, they didn't know where, but they knew that this day was going to come. And then all of a sudden, a man by the name of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, stepped on the scene after 400 years of silence between the Old and the New Testament, between Malachi and Matthew. The silence of heaven is broken, and he prophesied baptize these words that I have read to us today. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there is one that is coming. Hallelujah. There is one that is mightier than I. Praise be to God, whose sandals I am not even worthy to carry. He will indeed baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Somebody give God a hand praise today. Somebody shout hallelujah today. John, with the fire in his belly, preaches unto the citizens of Judea and tells them that there is coming a baptism. And it's not like just any baptism. He tells them, I'm baptizing you into water with repentance, but there is coming a whole nother level of baptism. And he describes to us a unique experience. He describes a two-part experience with two separate elements, or two divine or supernatural works that takes place. And it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. I want you to understand that the infilling of the Spirit is but one baptism. I'm not talking today about two baptisms or three baptisms. We're not talking about successive baptisms. We're talking about one baptism, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But in this baptism, it is composed of different elements. It's composed of power. Someone say power. Amen. Come on, say it again. Say power and fire. Somebody say fire. I want to tell you today that you cannot, if you could put that slide up for me, brother, please. The infilling of the Spirit is one baptism composed of two elements, power and fire. I want you to understand today, friend and church, anybody watching, that you cannot have the Holy Ghost and not have the fire. If it is the real Holy Ghost, because there's a lot of, I'll just call them like fake Holy Ghost going around today. What looks to be the Holy Ghost. And not everybody that is speaking in gibberish is speaking in a holy tongue. Come on, I need you to help me today. I need you to understand that not everyone who speaks with gibberish and goes la, 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 la. If somebody has to teach you how to speak in tongues, that's not the Holy Ghost. If they say, just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus real fast and just say a bunch of words and then you got the Holy Ghost. No, that's not what the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God taking residence in you and supernaturally empowering you to speak in a language that you have never learned or spoken before. Amen. So I'm not talking about a fake Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a real Holy Ghost. And when the real Holy Ghost shows up, there's going to be real fire that shows up. We need to understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is an essential doctrine of our apostolic church, of what it means to be Pentecostal, what it means to be a Spirit-filled believer. To understand the Spirit and fire baptism, we have to grasp the biblical concept of baptism. Somebody say baptism. Amen. That's a powerful word. That's a very important word, baptism. The word baptism in Greek is baptizo, and it means to dip, to immerse, or to submerge. A baptism, no matter the kind, it is not a sprinkling of water. It is not a partial dip. When we say the word baptism, we're not talking about a shower. We are talking about full immersion. All one's life and body being consumed. Amen. And in the case of water baptism, we do not practice a sprinkling or a shower. Amen. We practice full submersion. Amen, somebody. Amen. Do we believe this? Full submersion into the water. Amen. If you've got a foot that came out, we got to get that foot down too. Amen. Everything's got to go down. Praise be to God. Full submersion in the name of Jesus, not in the name of the Father and then of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. No, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's all you need to preach. That's all we need to do. And there's one formula. One formula. And I want to say that if there's somebody today, I just feel this of the Holy Ghost. If you are contemplating, if you've got like a toe that's kind of dipping in, and you're should I or shouldn't I just need to tell you in the Holy Ghost today, give your life to Jesus, surrender your heart, and be baptized in His name. Hallelujah. Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and he preached the Acts 2:38 message. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody give God some praise for that today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for this revelation. And if that's you, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Don't you wait another day. Don't you wait another hour. Jesus is coming soon, and you've got to be baptized, not only in water, but you've got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Lord wants to consume somebody today. My Lord, I feel something in my heart. The Lord wants to consume somebody today. He wants to immerse you in spiritual power and spiritual fire. Whoo, my Lord, I get excited. I have preached many different messages. I would assume hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know the number, but I have preached a lot of different things. And I got to tell you that nothing gets me more excited than when I preach. There's two messages that get me excited more than anything else. It's when I preach about the oneness of God or the name of Jesus, and when I preach about the Holy Ghost. Whoo, my God, something just gets a hold of me, because that is in my spiritual DNA. That's who I am, and I'm not ashamed of it, and we need to tell the world about it. Amen, somebody. Oh, my Lord, hallelujah. Let me talk to you about the baptism of power. Let's just talk about these two elements today, because I know we got a park day. Amen. I know we got some food waiting for us. We have a wonderful time. But amen, I would feel so much better if before we go to the park, someone gets renewed in the Holy Ghost. Hey, someone speaks in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible declares, let's talk about a baptism of power. The Bible declares that God is spirit. God is spirit. One of the chief revelations of God is that God is spirit. He is not limited by a body. He is not limited by time and space. He is not limited by the physical laws that govern our natural world. He is not limited by any of those things. God is eternal. And God is spirit, and God is unchanging. Hallelujah. God, come on now. God is just, He is eternal, He is spirit, and unchanging. Hallelujah. And God is all powerful, and God is all knowing, and God is all present. He is a spirit. Hallelujah. And the first glimpse of God that we read in all of Scripture happens at creation in Genesis 1. And verse 2, while the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What a profound picture of God moving upon the face of the deep in a world that was dark and void. Ooh, I just feel to stop right now and tell somebody that if your world is growing dark or void, that's a recipe for God to move. Because there is something about things that look hopeless, about things that look dark, and things that look shapeless and formless and without any hope, that attracts the Spirit, the moving of the Spirit. So I just want to tell somebody today that no matter what shape your world is in right now, you are a candidate for a move of God. Woo, my Lord. You are a candidate for God to sweep across your life. Come on, someone just love him right now. Oh, Rababayasha, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. The Spirit is moving, and the Spirit was moving upon the waters, above the waters. And this gives us a concept. It gives us a picture of how God's Spirit moved throughout the ages of the Old Testament. From the very beginning in Genesis, through the tabernacle system in the wilderness with children of Israel, and through the prophets even, we see the Spirit of God moving above the people. This is how God chose to relate to his people in the Old Testament. He was always above the people. The Spirit was moving above the waters. It was moving above the Israelites as a pillar of fire by night and by a cloud by day. He was above the people. And then he was in a special room called, in the tabernacle, called the Holies of Holies, or the Most Holy Place. And in a way, it was still very much above the people. Why is that? Because only the high priest could enter into that place but once a year. No one else had access to the glory of God that was in that special room. And it was like that for generations and generations. But all of that changed when God came down through the incarnation of Christ. And hear the words of John. In the words of John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, or God, said, I don't just want to dwell above my people anymore. I want to dwell among my people now. And so when Christ came down to earth, he went from being God above us to being God among us. Somebody give God some praise here today. How many of you are thankful that God stepped into our world? How many of you are thankful that God robed himself in humanity and he came, and for 33 and a half years, he bottled up all of his divine essence into the Christ, the man named Jesus, and he was with us and he dwelt among us. Ooh, praise be to God. He did that. And it was during that among us period of the Bible, during that among us time, when John the Baptist is the link between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Can I preach this like I want to today? Ooh, God, I said, can I preach this like I want to? He was the link between the old system and the new system. And he came like a herald to announce there is coming one that is mightier than I. And he said, he's not just going to do what everyone else did. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And likewise, Jesus, when he speaks to his disciples, he said, but ye shall receive. Everyone say power. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ooh, my Lord, I feel something in my spirit today. Oh, hallelujah. I don't even know if I'm going to get through my message today. I just feel something electric flowing through my veins today, because Jesus said, where all you got to do is wait for me, and you're going to receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then not too many days from there, about 40 days or so, then it reads in Acts chapter 2 in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, someone say suddenly, come on, say suddenly, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. I want to show you today, church and friend, that at Pentecost there was a divine shift in how God related to man. In the Old Testament, he was God above us, and when Jesus was here, he was God among us, but on the day of Pentecost, he was God within us. And I came to tell somebody today, you don't just have to touch him, you don't just gotta feel him, but he wants to fill your life to the uttermost. Somebody give God some praise. Somebody lift up a voice. Somebody lift up a shout. Somebody clap your hands. Somebody shout unto God today. Oh my God, it is the infilling of the Spirit that gives us the power to live for God and to accomplish his purpose in our lives. We need the Holy Ghost. Someone say, I need the Holy Ghost. You know, let me just clear this up. Do you need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? Yes. Oh, that was a trick question. No, it wasn't. Hallelujah. But can I tell you, you need the Holy Ghost more than just to go to heaven. You need the Holy Ghost just to go to work. Amen. I don't know. Hallelujah, Jesus. You need the Holy Ghost just to go to Walmart. You know what I'm saying? You need the Holy Ghost just trying to find a parking at the, you know, whatever it is you're going. I don't know about you, but I don't just need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. My goodness, I need the Holy Ghost in every aspect of my life. I couldn't be married without the Holy Ghost. And it's not because of my wife, but it's because of me. She's not here right now, praise God. But hallelujah. I couldn't be a father without the Holy Ghost. I couldn't be a preacher without the Holy Ghost. I couldn't be a singer without the Holy Ghost. I couldn't be a musician without the Holy Ghost. And there is nothing that we can do apart from the Holy Ghost. We need God to consume us. Oh, hallelujah. Speak in tongues every day. Is that all right? Every day speak in tongues. Whew, hallelujah. Sometimes I get to praying and I never get to praying in English. Hallelujah. Some of y'all are blessed. You know why? You get to pray in English. You get to pray in Spanish. Hallelujah. You know, gloria, gloria. You just get all it. Some of you, how many of you prefer to pray in Spanish? Don't lie to me. Come on. Amen. And everybody says we're going to be talking in Spanish when we get to heaven, huh? And the Chinese church are saying, no, we're going to be speaking Chinese, right? And hallelujah, the Swahili are saying we're going to be speaking. I don't know what language we're going to be speaking, but all I know is that when I begin to pray and I begin to enter the Spirit of God, whatever it is I'm going through, whatever's on my mind, whatever's bothering me, whatever I need, I get to praying in the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden, English is sheep. Spanish is sheep. Whatever language is sheep. There is only one language, whoo, and it's the Holy Ghost. As you begin to speak with other tongues, the Spirit of God is making intercession for you. There are things that I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say, but God begins this work in me, and I've got that baptism of his Spirit. Whoo, praise be to God. Somebody say amen today. Come on, clap your hands, give God a praise. I need the Holy Ghost. Whew, my Lord. But I got to switch gears here. I got to switch gears because we get excited when we talk about the baptism of power. You know, whew, man, I feel it, right? Holy Ghost, miracles, and signs, and wonders, right? All these things excite us, and they should. But there's another element. Hey, man, someone say, uh-oh. Because you can't have the Holy Ghost without the fire. And I got to talk to you before I leave today about a baptism of fire. Now, I had you say, uh-oh. Because when we start talking about the baptism of fire, all of a sudden, we begin to see what the will of God looks like in our life. Oh, hallelujah. Because we like to focus just on the power, how it makes us feel, and oh, yes, you know. But many times, our understanding of the baptism of fire is lacking. We don't quite many times understand what God means by a baptism of fire. In the church, we say, we use fire. We talk about fire in a variety of ways, but usually it's when we talk about passion, right? We say, man, that brother, he's on fire for God, right? And what we mean is like, man, he's passionate, right? Or service today was fire, right? What we mean is, man, service was lit, right? It was awesome, and you felt it. But can I tell you, we don't have to stop saying those things. That's awesome. Nothing wrong with that. But a baptism of fire goes beyond just passion and what you feel and what the temperature is like in the building. A baptism of fire goes beyond all of that. The Bible declares this. It says that for our God, in Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. Woo! Hallelujah. Our God is a consuming fire. There is a fire nature to God. And when John preached about this baptism, he said, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then he didn't put a period there and stop. He said, and, someone say, and, with fire. With fire. There is something to the baptism of God's Spirit that has this fire in it. And he was describing something that would revolutionize, that would radically change our life. God is not interested in just filling you. He's interested in forming you. Ooh, my Lord, that wasn't in my nose. I gotta say it again. God doesn't just want to fill you. He wants to form you. And the only way you can form somebody, brother, is through the I'll tell you why. Some believers, as many tongues as they talk into, never mature in Christ. They never go from glory to glory. They never go from faith to faith. Why? Because they may talk in tongues and all that thing, and that could be wonderful, but they never let the fire consume them. They never let the fire. They're just satisfied with the feeling, but not with the forming. Oh, my God. And God is saying, I didn't just come to fill you. I came to form you. And when John says this, he explains himself in the next verse. To understand what John means about the fire, we need to keep, you know, it's very helpful. In your Bible studies, keep reading. Don't just take one verse and lift it. You got to read before and you got to read after so you can capture the full meaning, the full context. So read the next verse, and then he explains to us what this fire is. He said, I'm going to baptize you, or he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Next verse, verse 12. John says, his winnowing fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And John is talking about something that's called a winnowing process in a harvest. In a time of harvest, in this ancient agricultural society, they would grain or they would thresh grain on a threshing floor. Amen. I've preached about that before here. And they would thresh the grain or the wheat or the barley on the threshing floor. And ideally, the wind would come. The wind from the east would blow in at twilight and would carry away the chaff, all of the loose outer husk of the grain. would be carried away, and the heavier true grain would fall to the ground. This is called a threshing. But sometimes there was no wind. So what the farmer would do is get his winnowing fan. I wish I had one today, but it's a fan. Think of almost, sometimes when you fan the flames inside of a fireplace, it's a fan. And that fan would blow, since there was no wind, he would, with the winnowing fan, blow away the chaff and separate it from the true grain. And after a while, after he does this, there would be a pile of chaff. All the false grain would be over there. And what he would do was gather up that chaff and then torch it with fire and burn up all the chaff that was there. What John is describing for us is a process in which, when the Holy Ghost takes resident in our life, I'm almost done, but hear me, this is so important. He doesn't just come to fill us and make us feel good, but the fire comes with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost comes. God sends his fire. The fire of God is sent into our lives to consume all of the chaff, all of the things, hear me today, all of the things in our life that is not the true grain. Are you following what I'm saying right now? Amen. Somebody say amen. Okay, and he blows those things away, and that's what the word does. The word blows these things, and it starts to separate. And then the fire comes, and it begins to burn up all of those areas, those characteristics, those elements of our life that doesn't glorify God and doesn't look like Jesus. And my God, it doesn't complement a life of in Christ, and he begins to consume those things and burn those things. I've come to tell somebody today on this Pentecost Sunday that if you will let the fire of God consume your life in his spirit, he will start to burn those areas in our life that have got to change, have got to be removed, so that we can walk in greater perfection. Somebody say amen today. I know. It's not very popular to talk. We get excited. You can draw a crowd, I guess, talking about just the power of the Holy Ghost. But then when we start talking about the fire and what the fire does and how it begins to burn, you know what it burns? Someone say what? It burns bad attitudes. My God. You know what else it burns? It burns relationships, bad relationships. My God. It burns things like pride. It burns arrogance. It burns greed. It burns disobedience. It burns all of these things that are contrary to the Spirit of God. I'm not getting a lot of amens right now, but I know you're hearing me. It burns these things so that ultimately what is left is a true living witness. What is left is a life. And I understand. How many of you have ever touched physical fire? How many of you, some of you are real sophisticated Hispanics and Mexicans. You probably cook your tortillas like on one of them fancy things that came from Mexico and are passed down from generation. But some of us, we just put their tortilla right on the burner. Did that make some of you nervous when I said that? You don't got time to heat up the comal. You just got to burn it right there. And every once in a while, my wife has a technique. One time I saw she was warming up a tortilla. Man, I really feel the Holy Ghost now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She was burning one of those tortillas. And then I heard her blowing. I'm like, what are you doing over there? And I couldn't understand. So I asked, what are you doing? Why are you blowing? I'm blowing so I can grab the tortilla, because if not, it'll burn my fingers. He says, you're blowing the flame that way. I see the technique now, because a couple of times I would stick my fingers down there because I was excited to get the tortilla, and whoo, fire was hot. Boy. Fire burns. Someone say it burns. When the Holy Ghost and fire consumes your life, come on up, brother. When the Holy Ghost and fire consumes your life, it's not always going to feel good. It's not always going to feel exciting. It's not always going to feel... Fire is painful. There's no getting around it. The baptism of fire is going to burn. Yes, it will. But I'm going to say something with a lot of respect. I hope no one gets offended at what I'm about to say. If you do, I apologize in advance. But let me say this. We're all going to burn. I prayed about before I said what I'm about to say. We're all going to burn. The only question is, do you want to burn now? Or do you want to burn later? Wow. But you're going to burn. Say, wow, Lord, you took all the excitement out of the room, Pastor. No, I didn't. Because my job is to help you get to heaven. I don't just want people to feel the Holy Ghost and go right back to living the same life that they live. See, that's kind of heavy. You can burn now or you can burn later, but you will burn. So guess what I've decided? I'd rather burn now. I'd rather say, God, whoo, Jesus, whatever it is you need to burn. Whatever it is you need to consume. Whatever it is, God, you need to torch in me. Whatever it is, God, you need to burn, God. Burn it now. I don't want to leave this service, God, until you burn it. I don't want to go another day, God, until you burn it, God. I need you. Would you stand with me at this hour? Oh, Rababa Yashamarama Kanda.